Turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles. I knew I was going to do that. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, the Old Testament Corinthians. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. We'll look at that in just a moment. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to get one from the pews there around you. We are going to be quite extensively in the Old Testament this morning in two different passages here in Corinthians, and then we're going to turn over to in Chronicles, and then we're going to turn over into 2 Thessalonians and look at a couple of verses there. I would like to welcome all of our visitors here today. If you are visiting with us, we want you to know that you are welcome. We're glad you're here, and we hope that you get an opportunity to come back at some point and be with us. As we open 2 Chronicles chapter 34, we see that Josiah is getting ready to become king. He had his great-grandfather Hezekiah as a good king. He never knew Hezekiah. Hezekiah died before he was born. And then Hezekiah's son Manasseh was probably the most evil king that Judah ever had. He reigned 55 years. He was taken away into Assyria. He humbled himself before God and was returned back to his throne in Jerusalem. And it was during this time that Josiah would have been born. Amon took over for Manasseh when Manasseh died and only reigned 2 years. He was a very evil king, so this is Josiah's father, was very evil. And then we pick up in chapter 34 and verse 1. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. Now here Josiah had every opportunity to be another evil king, didn't he? His father and grandfather had both been very evil. His grandfather did repent, but they had set up all kinds of idolatrous worship in the temple all around the country in Judah. It would have been very easy for Josiah to fall into that. But when he was 16 years old, what did he do? He looked for God. He sought the God of his father David. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Look at what it says. It said he didn't turn to the right or to the left. He did exactly what God wanted him to do. So that's a pretty profound statement for anyone, isn't it? For God to be able to tell you that you're doing exactly what I want you to do. And he started doing that when he was 16. Does that sound a little bit like our reading this morning in Psalm 1? Someone who is righteous, who wants to serve the Lord? Let's get back into our text a little bit there with the second part of verse 3. And in the 12th year, so that he would have been 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. They broke down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and the incense altars which were above them he cut down. And the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images he broke into pieces. He made dust of them and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem, which had been previously prophesied. Verse 6. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and all around with axes or with swords. When he had broken down the altars and the wooden images, had beaten the carved images into powder, and cut down all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. So he started reforming his kingdom when he was 20 years old. At least he did as well as he knew how, because we find out later that the book of the law was lost, that they didn't really know for sure exactly what God wanted them to be doing in some cases. But he was starting to reform his kingdom. Josiah was different in his time, wasn't he? He was radically different. He was completely different from the world. He was different from the kings that had preceded him. Even though Hezekiah was a good king and he did tear down some of the high places, there were still high places that were allowed. They just had to worship God on them and not the bells, but they still kept them. What did Josiah do? Josiah went all around the kingdom himself. He was there, said, in his presence. And they tore down those high places. They cut down the altars. They ground up stuff into powder. He dug up the graves of the ones who had polluted Israel, and he burned them on the altar. He was radically different. Look at what he was doing for God. Look at what he was doing to be different. He was trying to cleanse his country. I think he's a great example of what we should be when we're living in the world. We should be radically different from the world too. The world should be able to look at us and see that we're living differently, that we're shining the light of Christ around us. Josiah is a good example of that. Let's keep going, but we're going to skip down now to verse 14. And look at some other things that happened here in Josiah's life. Now when they had brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. So Shaphan carried the book to the king, bringing the king word, saying, all that was committed to your servants, they're doing. So they were rebuilding and repairing the temple like Josiah had told them to do. And in verse 17, and they have gathered the money that was found in the house of the Lord and delivered it to the hand of the overseers and the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Thus it happened when the king heard the words of the law that he tore his clothes. So here was a righteous man, Josiah, trying his best to live life according to what God wanted him to do. But they didn't have the complete word of the law, did they? And so they found that book and they read it to the king. And what was his reaction? He humbled himself and he tore his clothes. He realized that even though he was trying to do right, a lot of the things that they were doing just didn't measure up. Now, we don't know exactly what those were, but we can tell from the text that Josiah knew, hey, we're not doing exactly what God wants us to do. And so he tore his clothes. Look at how Josiah reacted when he found out what he was doing. While it was better than all of his predecessors, it still wasn't exactly what God wanted. He tore his clothes, and then what did he do? He made a change. Just like he had made a change when he went out to get rid of all the idolatry in the land of Judah. Well, we have to know God's word too. Just like Josiah, he didn't know exactly what to do unless God told him until he found the book of the law and read it. We have to know God's word too. We have to feast. Christ expects us to feast on his word. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And that's Joshua 1:8. Why did David say it was so important? Well, in Psalm 119 and verse 1, David said, I have stored up your word in my heart. Why, David? He says, that I may not sin against you. He knew that when he put God's word in his heart and tried to live that he would be less likely to sin against God. That would make him strong against sin. So just like Josiah, we need to know God's word as well. Let's look down and pick up our reading in verse 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 26. So in the passage between where we picked up and left off, Josiah was worried because he had not been following God's command exactly, and he sent out a messenger to go inquire of God what was going to happen. And so God told him, and let's look at verse 26. This is the part that applies to Josiah. But as for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord in this manner, you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which you have heard. Because your heart was tender and you have humbled yourself before God, when you heard his words against the place and against its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely I will gather you to your fathers. You shall be gathered to your grave in peace. Your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place and its inhabitants. So they brought back word to the king. So, what happened? Well, God forgave Josiah, didn't he? He said, Josiah, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to bless you. You've humbled yourself before me. You've done what I asked you to do. So all the things that you've read in the word that I'm going to bring upon Judah, they're not going to happen in your day. You're not going to have to see that. You're not going to have to suffer through that. Because you have turned to me. You're following my will. Well, what's the application for us? When we follow God's word, when we try diligently to follow it like Josiah did, if we do mess up, God's going to forgive us too. We have that peace that they didn't have back in Josiah's time, that the blood of Christ would cleanse us from all of our sins as long as we're walking in the light. All right, let's keep going and see what else we can learn from Josiah. We've seen so far that Josiah has done a lot of good things and that he's reformed his kingdom, but now he's going to turn to the people. Let's look in verse 29. Then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book. And he made all those who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Thus Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not depart from following the God of their fathers. Josiah gave his people a choice. Josiah didn't force the worship of God on any of his people, did he? He brought them together and he read the same words that he had heard to all the people that were there. And then he said, I'm going to serve the Lord with all my heart. And then he said, you have to decide what you're going to do. And how did they choose? Well, they chose God. And once they chose God, once they chose to serve their God, like Josiah had, then Josiah kept them to that word the whole time he was king. And in the very end it says, all his days they did not depart from following the God of their fathers. So they chose God, and that needs to be our choice too. Our souls depend on it. I can't choose for you. You can't choose for me. We each individually have to choose the path that we're going to take. Our soul's final destination is the single most important thing in this life. I know that as we're young, we don't always see that. We look around and see all the things in the world. We see all the riches and power, and we see all the cool toys that we can have. And we get enamored with that. And sometimes we forget the real purpose that we have here in this life. And that's to decide what our soul's final destination is going to be. So if I live here to be 120 years old, that's great, isn't it? I will have lived more than most people have in our day and time. Yet after I've been in eternity for 10,000, 100,000, 10 billion years, it keeps going and going and going. And so it's very important, the choice that we make today. Josiah made the choice to follow God. I hope we will too. Now let's keep going, because that's not all that happened in Josiah's life. Let's jump up to chapter 35. Remember, they had found the word of the law and found the things that God had wanted them to do. And one of the things was to keep the Passover. So let's read the first four verses there. Now Josiah kept a Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem, and they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their duties and encouraged them for the service of the house of the Lord. And he said to the Levites who taught all Israel, who were holy to the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, built. It shall no longer be a burden on your shoulders. Now serve the Lord your God and his people Israel. Prepare yourselves according to your father's houses, according to your divisions, according to the written instruction of David, king of Israel, and the written instruction of Solomon, his son. So in order to make orderly worship in the Old Testament, David and Solomon had both set up different priestly houses to do different functions. And some of them were singers, and some of them did incense, and some of them were offering sacrifices. Each one of the priestly families had their own duties to do. And so he had those records, and he said, go do that. Go set yourselves up as the way David and Solomon had, so we will have an orderly Passover. He made sure everything was done according to God's word, in God's way. Not his way. He didn't say, you know what I think? I want this to be a big Passover, so here's what I'm going to do. No, he turned and he looked at what people who had been faithful to God, like David, had done. He turned to what God's word said, and he looked at how the Passover was to be kept. And that's how they set things up. Now let's read verses 7 through 10. We'll drop down a little bit. Josiah gave the lay people lambs and young goats from the flock, all for Passover offerings from all who were present, to the number of 30,000, as well as 3,000 cattle. These were from the king's possessions. And his leaders gave willingly to the people, to the priests, and to the Levites. Hilkiah, Zechariah, and Jehaliel, rulers of the house of God, gave the priest for the Passover 2,600 from the flock. That would have been lambs and goats, and 300 cows. Also, Kenaiah, his brother, Shemaiah, Nathaniel, Hashbalah, Jael, Jozabad, chief of the Levites, gave to the Levites of the Passover 5,000 from the flock and 500 cattle. So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their places, and the Levites in their divisions, according to the king's command. So not only did he set worship up to be done correctly, he made sure everybody had what they needed. He gave 30,000 lambs and goats so all the people would have something, so that the Lord would have a lot of sacrifices. And he gave 3,000 cows. And because of that, his leaders also gave a lot of their possessions from their flocks and from their cows. So Josiah not only set things up, he was totally committed, wasn't he? He was totally committed to doing the Passover right. Do you know how much that would have cost? I mean, 30,000 of animals from your flock and 3,000 head of cows. That was a lot. And the king gave that freely so that we could, so they could enjoy the Passover. And so it could be done properly. Notice that even the poor would be able to participate, because he made sure everyone had something. Now let's drop down to verse 17 and see what the result of that was. And the children of Israel who were present kept the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. There had been no Passover kept in Israel like that since the days of Samuel the prophet, and none of the kings of Israel kept such a Passover as Josiah kept, with the priests and the Levites, all Judah and Israel who were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah, this Passover was kept. So remember, he reigned 31 years. This is in the 18th year of his reign. So a little over halfway through his reign. But notice what it said. It said, no Passover had been kept in Israel like that since the days of Samuel, and none of the kings of Israel had kept it like that. That meant David and Solomon too, who he was trying to pattern himself after, wasn't he? Even they didn't keep the Passover like it was kept that day, as the people turned their hearts to follow God. God always approves when we worship Him properly, when we worship Him His way. And that's why the scripture was written this way. God approved of the fact that Josiah kept the Passover that way. Josiah goes on in the rest of that chapter to die in battle, so he won't have to see the destruction that quickly comes upon the house of Judah after his departure, which is what God promised him. But the thing I want to focus on is, why did Josiah give himself completely to following God? He was radically different in his time. He stood for God. He chose to be different and to stand out in his age. Well, the reason he did that should be the same reason that we do it today. Because God wants us to. And while Josiah may not have been fully understanding like we are today, we also know that Christ is coming back to judge us based on how we live. Josiah lived so that he would be pleasing to God. We need to be living for God as well, because Christ is coming back. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Give you a chance to get over there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to read a few verses there. Talking about Christ is coming back to judge us based on how we live. This should be a sober reminder for us when we are thinking about not living for Christ, when we are choosing to not be different from the world. So 2 Thessalonians, Paul is talking to the Christians here at Thessalonica. In verse 3, he says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we also boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith, and in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer." So here he's saying, we thank God for you because we see all the things that you're enduring, and we hold you up as an example to other people, to other congregations, of all the things you're having to endure, yet you're remaining faithful. Verse 5 says, "As evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God." Are we going to be counted worthy of the kingdom of God? That's the question we have today. Let's keep going. Verse 6, he offers them a little comfort. "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 9, "These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness in the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." So he's trying to give them comfort for the tribulations that they're going through. He says that when Christ comes back, he's going to give you rest, because you've been tormented on this earth, but you've been faithful to me. But what's going to happen to those who are not living for God, who choose not to be different from the world? Well, Christ is going to come back at that trumpet sound, and he's going to bring his angels with him. And it says, verse 8, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." We know God today, don't we? So we want to not be in that second category. We don't want it to be those who are disobedient to God. Because when he comes back, he will judge us according to everything that we've done. And verse 9, "These will be punished with everlasting destruction." Not for a few years, not till I burn up, not till you burn me at the stake. Forever and ever and ever is going to be the destruction away from God. And I will submit to you that it's going to be more terrible for those of us who are in the audience today. Because we knew how to avoid that place, didn't we? We knew how to avoid everlasting destruction. And so if we miss heaven, we don't have anybody to blame but ourselves. Are you ready? Really ready? Because Christ is coming one day. Hell is a terrible place. Let's choose to be like Josiah and be radically different from the world in our time. today so that people can look at us and see that we are living for Christ. Obey God and live. If you've never obeyed Christ, then you don't have any hope, and God doesn't provide you with any rest. If you have been baptized, however, and are living that Christian life, and have not been that faithful child of God, if you've not been different from the world like Josiah, then you need to straighten that up with God today before we leave. You can come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I